I think right here.
He makes a pattern.
No,
okay, 3:07, we're back in session, and we're trying to wrap up this case. So, board members, let's call ahead and wrap this. Again, you've got a couple choices, and you've got, you want a letter of concerns, you want CMEs, you want continuance, you want this to go to, you name it. Lots of options. So let's try to wrap it up. Ms. Gelman, any thoughts?
I kind of listening to hear what the medical doctors, professional have to say, so I'm just kind of still thinking about it.
My comment is that in terms of situations
where
you determining standards of care being followed by a naturopathic physician, I don't see it in terms of the record keeping, and it just seems very choppy. And just the manner in which things proceeded, this is obviously outside, or which is in addition to the consent form. I think as practicing physicians, those of us on the board know that there's a policy and a system that we follow, and that if for whatever reason, make a game time decision, or you don't follow that. Sometimes it doesn't go as well as you want. Sometimes it goes fine. I mean, I think that goes for any profession. It all depends on how it ends up. But I don't. As far as standard of care for making a determination, making a determination based on talking to somebody, examining them, and then reading a diagnosis and then a treatment, and that is what I consider a standard of care in naturopathic medical practice. And I don't know why you would deviate from that for a certain procedure. It doesn't make sense. The only reason you're allowed to do the procedure is because you're a licensed physician. So I think that you can't have two different things. So I don't see standard of care being followed. My opinion. Because I am not able, I don't think it's appropriate to separate liposuction from being a doctor, regardless of what type of doctor you are. On the other hand, that may be the standard of care within the liposuction for delivering community. And if so, I am not able to determine that. I have zero familiarity with liposuction as a patient or as a practitioner.
But whatever should be certified, it needs to do
with
the naturopathic standard of care.
I would agree. That's what I just said.
Right.
So do you feel this has fallen out of standard of care?
Yes.
Okay. Dr. Spatt?
Yeah, my concern is that because you take the intake from Sermonel and from Mr. Peterson, and so by saying that he presumed that everything is taken care of and he moved forward with the procedure, which I know that this here is the minor one, but I'm not expert either about what the woman said. But my concern is that everything needs to be recorded correctly, and the intake also, especially any procedure, I would have another additional intake with the patient before I proceed. So that has an concern, of course.
In closing,
you want to ask Eva?
Eva? Ms. Gelman?
Yeah.
Your thought process, you've heard from
I definitely think that there it rises to the level of good plan. I'm just not sure. I'm kind of going back and forth in my head about how and what.
I would love to hear Ms. Peter's thoughts on that.
How do you feel about it? I'm not sure. I'm still going back and forth because of, you know, all the different things. And I'm kind of still interested in that.
So you feel as though it does not rise to a level of discipline? Or you do?
No, I think so.
Okay, you do feel that way. Okay.
Yeah.
So we need to come up with resolution. Does someone want to make a motion, start making motions here?
If it rises to the level, if we decide that rises to the level of discipline, we have to decide where that discipline would need to lie. But in terms of record keeping,
right.
I think, yeah, for me, that's where it would lie. In terms of record keeping, for me, my opinion is that record keeping is there because it keeps the patient and the physician safe, and others who fall after that. That's the reason we keep records, so that when things are brought to a board like this, we can clearly see what happened, what the flow was, the clusters, the standard of care within the patient's fall.
So would you want to see it with the team monitor? Or are you okay with education?
Could you repeat that one?
Yeah, I suppose you want to see like monitoring essentially of the record keeping.
Yes, but some guidelines where it then has to be given to the doctor.
Right.
I think the issues with the record keeping are that I am unable to tell who did what and what the doctor knew because it's just simply not in a consistent record. I understand the part about prescribing to prepare a patient for a medical examination, which is within our statutes, but I'm unable to tell whether or not, like for instance, the issue with prior colon resection, it's not in the record that I can tell within the physician's record. I mean, there was a little part written about it in the other business's intake form, but I don't know if that's necessarily part of the medical record per se. So, if that's clear.
So, are you saying failure to keep adequate medical records?
Yes, failure to keep adequate medical records.
And that level of failure, you feel, rises to the level of this.
These are the ones who suggested that I look to hear what she said.
That's why I'm listening to the discussion. I think that for me it sort of does rise to the level of discipline because in order to monitor somebody, which I think it may be monitoring, I don't think you can really do that without discipline.
As well as doing a procedure where it's not state records, I think that's what I would agree with.
Right.
Sure. Yes. I think what we're going to run into too is that there's what looks like something customarily how it's done in the liposuction community, but again, we have to stay focused on the purview of this board and what's covered by intrapatic medical statutes. Therein is the problem.
In terms of the disconnect between the business model and medical practice?
I just think it's within records you can do by so it's a chicken term.
So would that have concerns the report yet at this point?
That's one of the nine options.
they've been talking currently about doing disciplinary letter of concern and also an option. We wouldn't be able to restart it now. He could voluntarily submit that to the board. My thought process is it's an unfortunate situation for both people. Perhaps we can accomplish this through a letter of concern versus formal discipline. And it would be better to keep adequate medical records, have him do CME, and then additionally, voluntarily, because we cannot do that unless we put him in the formal, voluntarily have him submit for the next, you know, 3 months, 6 months, whatever the board felt would be applicable, records on the procedures he does.
I don't think we can ask that.
Can we ask that voluntarily?
Well,
oh, to a stretch.
That is, I think, you know, your first 2 points are well taken. You can certainly issue a letter of concern, you know, articulating whatever your concerns are. You also have a non-disciplinary CME. However, if you believe that it rises to the level of discipline, then you certainly have CME, but you also can impose, you know, the requirements of, you know, record monitoring, whatever you think is necessary. But it gets a little slippery when we ask, you know.
Ms. Galvin, what's your thought process? You started with the formal discipline. Do you have that structured at all, how you want that to happen, besides longer?
If you're going to monitor his, you know, in record keeping, you have to have some sort of consent agreement in place, do that. And I don't know if you can do that without, like, probation or something like that. So, that's what you'd be looking at if you did a consent agreement. Otherwise, you know, letter of concern is not going to be the disciplinary avenue, but you can still express the concern of, you know, the same issues.
You mean via the letter of concern mechanism?
It just depends if you want to go down to disciplinary or not. How important you guys think monitoring is. You know, if you really think it's important to monitor his records, then I don't think we can get out past this one. But if everybody agrees that it's less important and we can, you know, voluntarily ask for those things, then, you know, and you don't need to necessarily discipline. It's just a matter of how we think. And I'd be curious what everybody else thinks about that.
Yeah, do we have any records or maybe I just have about the post-treatment monitoring? Formal records, and other ones follow up visit, but phone calls and the text, I don't see any of that.
What do you have in the email that DT generated to him, his responses to?
I believe that's the one follow up.
I mean, I see both points of view. I see the, you know, formal discipline, I see the letter of concern. I don't think he will continue. I think he'll tighten that up. I don't know. We can't tell unless we put the, you know, basically formal discipline. But my thought process is most likely he will pretty much take what we've come up with. And letter of concern that's CME might suffice, but I'm going to leave that to you guys.
What would you say to the letter?
Failure to keep adequate medical records, and that would be the sequential thought of patient comes in, patient has visit, patient gives prescriptions, patient's got, you know, pre-surgical, post-surgical plans, you know, visit the garment, whatever. So that would be what would come in.
And if I may, what I'm hearing is that one of the concerns that we want to address with the letter of concern is that when engaging in services as a naturopathic physician, it is that physician's responsibility to ensure that all services are provided in accordance with minimum practice standards, which includes record keeping. And if there's been something else, but again, is, you know, you're providing this as a physician, and as a result, there are minimum standards that are expected of you when providing those services. I'm sorry, that's what I meant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's my thoughts, but we'll need to discern whether you want to go formal or whether you want to do the letter to them.
Perhaps we can start with a motion, one way or another.
We have one motion, Ms. Galvin. You're first. Did you make a motion? Okay.
I did make a motion.
Okay. Do you want to make a motion?
I'm ready to hear somebody else make a motion.
Okay.
And what that sounds like.
All right. So we've got a couple choices. My thought process is a letter of concern, failure to keep adequate medical records, CME, probably 12 units in addition to his 30 he has to do. And that he already has the training, so I don't think he has to send him back for that. But it's mostly procedural. So 12 units in terms of medical charting and procedural processing, I guess. That's the motion I have.
I'm sorry, that's all right. If you could just 12 hours of additional CME
right.
In medical charting.
Medical charting.
And was there a third thing?
No.
Okay.
In addition to the 30 hours.
Okay.
And what would the time frame be on that?
I'm fine with it, with 6 months. But that's my motion, letter of concern. Anyone that wants to make formal, then go ahead and put that out there too.
Well, perhaps we can start because you do have a motion.
Maybe we take a vote on.
Let's go ahead and take a vote on that first.
Did we have a second? I'm sorry.
Okay.
Got a second.
Can we do a roll call, please? Dr. Rubin?
Hey.
Okay.
Dr. Spott?
Hi.
Dr. Shadlock?
I
drafted,
so I say
hi. Okay. Ms. Kibbe?
Aye.
Ms. Gowan?
Yes, aye.
Motion
carries. So motion carries. Please be very judicious in terms of your flow, your sequential flow in your office. And the family will go there with you. And BP, thanks for coming. We'll move on to our next case. Okay, we're a little bit off sequence. So, Dr. Tolman, are you here with legal counsel? Okay. So why don't we take you, if you give me patience, I'll sit back there. You want to come up with counsel?
Could you just wait 1 second for me, please? Thank you.
We are moving from the 5B. This case number, by the way, for record is 20-129.
Board members, Mr. Chair, board members, on July 26, 2019, the State of Arizona Naturopathic Physicians Medical Board received a complaint by patient AG. According to the complaint, respondent refused to supply medical records in a timely manner. In his complaint to the board, AG states the board's website is not working. However, the email was sent via the website. Additionally, the board was contacted by constituent services liaison from the governor's office on August 1, 2019, indicating that they had received the same complaint. This board received AG's complaint on Friday, July 26. AG was notified we received the complaint and opened a case on July 29. Respondent was notified of AG's complaint. His response was received along with AG's medical records, which were subpoenaed by this investigator. According to the respondent, AG was referred to him by his attorney after an automobile accident, which took place on May 9, 2019. In his response to the board, he stated in part, quote, patients are referred to the practice by personal injury attorneys and other medical providers, and specialists with additional perspective would be meaning, and specialists when additional perspectives would be meaningful to patients' outcomes. In this context, Dr. Tallman serves two primary roles, case management and patient care, end quote. The medical records include several computerized neurocognitive assessments, physical examination, and physical referrals for continued chiropractic care, massage, and an MRI. There seems to be no evidence to support a violation of unprofessional conduct. Dismissal is requested.
Is the complaint here? Okay. We'll have some doctor's comments on
the attorney. If the board is inclined to go to recommendation of dismissal, Dr. Tallman doesn't have anything else to add, but happy to answer any questions from the board.
I'm sorry, I can't hear what's being said. I can't hear the words.
Could you get to the mic?
Is your mic on?
Sure, I'll repeat.
Okay.
If the board is inclined to follow the recommendation of dismissal, then Dr. Tallman doesn't have any statement. However, he's happy to answer any questions from the board.
Dr. Tallman, can you just briefly give us a summation of this, what transpired?
Yes, of what parts do you want me to start at? So I can, because there's a lot there that I love research and what I'm talking on. Is there a part of you that you want to focus on?
Maybe just that complaints, concerns. Can he speak into the microphone? Yeah, you can just address his concerns, that would be helpful.
So the concern was that I didn't respect the patient. As a standard operating business practice, I usually put a link to our special software to the patient and convenience. And I didn't do that in this case. So the number of weeks went by. I had completed all my tasks for that particular case. I referred to a paralegal to say that I saw the patient. The second week, I was with the patient in neurology, double protocol certified neurology and oncology. So the patient was being care of the physician. And I was nearly confident how the injury occurred and was progressing in that care of the status of the other doctors. The last test that I did was computerized neurocognitive assessment. And the patient's complaint is that I didn't do the results again.
What about the complainant stating that he couldn't get his records, couldn't get their call time after time? What is going on there?
So my wife's an expat. She's working for an office, but she works 8 9 hour days. And so I was responsible for our children, and the kids were on single day, so I was on life duty full time with our children and taking care of the house and such. And so in that progression, I thought I sent that study out to him and lost track of the patient in that fashion. The lost track was just reviewing out his results. He was under the care of the neurologist. And when I spoke to the neurologist, the treatment did not change. Nothing changed based on the results that he received from the computer assessment. claim that someone injured him.
No questions? Do you have any problems? Okay, Dr. Collins. Thanks. Hang, if you could just hang around, that'd be great. I'm gonna bring you a complaint.
Thank you.
Come on, of course. And can you give us, we've read your complaint. Can you give us a brief summation of your complaint?
Certainly. I just come from a background of excessively professional action by anyone I hire, anyone who works with me, had very high standards. This is the third neuromuscular assessment that has been done with me about my head injury where I suffered a concussion, at a rather severe concussion that resulted in headaches, dizziness, and what was it called in the room stems, I forget.
Vertigo,
thank you. I had vertigo before, that was very frightening because I didn't know what that was. This was a second head injury that I experienced in my lifetime, the first one being much more severe where I was unconscious, in a coma, paralyzed from the right side of my body, and speechless. So that was extremely powerful. I was in the hospital for 4 months. This one was a lot less severe. However, there were things that happened in this one that were invisible, like the dizziness, the headache, the vertigo. You can't see them. You see some. And what was interesting was when I took the texts that were delivered to me and given to me by Dr. Tallman, I was seeing that I was not functioning well on a lot of things that I'm a circuit student, blah, blah, blah. So I'm not used to getting things wrong. I had many things wrong in the first one and the second one. The third one, I was a great extent of great trouble to be able to arrange for the time to have a computer, I have a page, I have a calendar. I had everything all set. My phone was right next to me, and when he called me in the morning, it took me a lot of time. The call went directly to the voicemail. I didn't know that this was working while he was playing, and I had to check my voicemail. Oh my goodness. But I quickly wrote him back and just said, I'm here, I'm waiting right now, and he's taking the test. I'm sorry the call didn't ring. My phone did not ring. When I rang the voicemail, no response. And I sent, when I sent the test to him, I really wanted to know what the results were. No response from me on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. On Friday, I said, a whole week has gone by. I assume you must not have gotten my test results. I need to take them again. Let me know. No response. I'm like, whoa. How could anyone remind someone 5 times and you still get nothing? I then had my attorney contacted him and said, what's going on? No response. Our attorney waited 10 days and called him again and wrote him again. So he emailed him and said, what's going on? What, Mr. Rosa, there's like the results of the test. What's happening? No response. As to my lawyer, who I was referred to him by, so I was a little bit put off by that. That 7 weeks after the test was done, I went and saw my neurologist, who was a neurologist, a medical doctor. He said to me, it's been 7 weeks since the test, and today I got a fax from Dr. Tallman with the results, and they were not good. I said, the results were not good? He said, not at all. I said, wow, I have 7 weeks of thinking that they were going to be decent, that they were going to be all right. And I never was even told that this was something I should be alerted to. Nothing. And I said, how is it possible that one doctor could not be in contact with another doctor with test results for 7 weeks? That is outrageous. And so I decided to call him here, and just two things, I had getting phone numbers and everything, so I contacted the governor's office just to ask what to do and how to proceed. So I was a little surprised that both the doctor and the lawyer working on my behalf were not able to make contact with the doctor's home, which is just absolutely outrageous to me. And then kind of think of the last thing is that a couple of months, maybe another month, when I had to go 7 weeks, and then Dr. Coleman left me in reach. As if nothing had happened. And if somebody transcribed the message, sent it to your office, and said this was all good, and not responding to it, just wanted you to know this is what privacy, and that was it. But I just was going to expect a little bit of higher standard, someone who would have a patient. This is my first time receiving an naturopathic doctor. I was thinking about when did he get the thing to see how he works and what he does and his evaluations. He's doing already showing me things I did not know or was not aware of about my functioning, how things are working this week. I was like, this is so interesting. Because like, I come from a family of lawyers and doctors. My sister is a medical doctor. And I was talking with her about some of the test results because the neurological assessments were very interesting that I thought I was doing my best and it wasn't coming out that way. Well, why would I have to wait 7 weeks to find out the bad results? Anyway, that's my decision.
Just so I'm clear, were you under the care at that point of neurology that he referred you,
There's no point to anyone saying to me, if you're being seen by a neurologist, you don't need that at all. First, I'm seeing a physical therapist whose specialty was concussions. I was seeing two different chiropractors. I was seeing a neurologist. I was seeing Dr. Tallman, who's a naturopathic doctor. And I think there was one more. I was seeing like 5 or 6 different professionals, and I was just very concerned about my head smashed against the window of the driver's door during the accident, and it really had quite an effect on me, because again, with the second head injury I had in my lifetime, I was a little bit more concerned about it because of it being a head injury.
Who referred you to Dr. Thomas? Who referred you to speak of this?
My attorney. And when the attorney called and contacted him, I had no response. And 10 days later, he went again and said, whoa, can you believe he's not contacting me? I said, no, I have not.
So then you were reaching out, you or your attorney were reaching out to Dr. Coleman. Was that in the form of an email or?
In the form of an email. I have all these emails for you if you require them.
So did you call the office?
No. I knew that because I heard nothing and my neurologist had not gotten any tests or something. How is that possible? Like I put down everyone I'm being treated with was no my doctor Tallman. That comment never said, I didn't know you were seeing a neurologist. He knew I was seeing a neurologist. And he never said to me, because you're seeing an MD who's a neurologist, a specialist, I won't be working with you anymore. That was never said to me.
I'm just curious if you had called and talked to an actual person in the office. You're saying no.
I
have to call myself.
Yeah.
And did you have a neurologist at any point reach out to him?
My neurologist did not reach out to him because I didn't ask him to. But at that on the day that I had an appointment, I'm not certain as to whether or not he did or not. The date of my appointment with my neurologist was 7 weeks after the test had been taken. And the third evaluation, and that morning the test data facts came in from Dr. Thomas. So I'm not sure if my neurologist may have called him or may have contacted him and said, I'm seeing our patient in a few hours, can I please have the result of this thing? I'm not sure if that happened or if Dr. Thomas just happened to coincidentally send it on the morning of the day that I was seeing the neurologist.
Okay.
And when the results were not, you know, optimal, that was a really annoying me. I'm like, wow, who could wait that long to be able to say you didn't get that result?
Who are you being treated by?
Maybe who's overseeing the case?
No, no, who is treating you?
Can you be more specific?
Risk factors were treating you.
I have the I have a list of people. I have a neurologist, there was one neurologist, not the one who we're talking about with the case, who had treated me. There was I had an MRI done by radiology. I believe the doctor who was overseeing all of the other care that I was getting was Dr. Rob, R-O-B-B.
So you were being treated by a chiropractor, is what it sounds like.
Oh, no, Dr. Rob is a neurologist.
Right, but where are you being treated by a chiropractor?
Two chiropractors.
So there's two chiropractors. Then you were overseen by Dr. Rob. And did those physicians reach out to get those test results for you?
The only physician was Dr. Rob.
Did he reach out to Dr. Tadgallman to get those test results?
I don't know.
Okay. I'm just wondering why you were asking Dr. Tadgallman to say it was important that he didn't send results somewhere for 7 weeks, but it doesn't sound like any of the people who were actually treating you actually needed the results. That seems like a disconnect to us, or me at least. I'm not speaking on the board just for myself.
Okay.
But I just want to, you know,
at no point did someone say the results are not important or the status are not necessary. At that time, there was a lot of traveling going on by the doctor and myself, so that one could have been part of it.
Right, and I understand. And I understand that you, frustration, of course, but well, during the course of treatment from physicians, physicians are to determine what testing they need and what's important in order to administer or develop and administer a treatment plan. And we've heard from Dr. Cohen that treatment plans didn't change based on the results. Your physicians did reach out to get those test results. And something Dr. Cohen was asked by the team to just develop those test results and then bring them to Dr. Rob, which she did. So nothing in your care.
Wait. You're saying that Dr. Tallman was asked to deliver the test results to my Dr. Rob, and he did them?
We said he asked him over to his office.
7 weeks later.
Right. What I'm saying is that in your opinion, it appears that the time matters, but it doesn't seem to matter to your physicians who were in charge of your medical care.
My physician seemed to express to me that day that he was very alarmed at this. And I said to him, is there anything you want to do? And he said, no, I'm not going to be getting involved in this. He said, you do whatever you need to do to take care of this, but I'm not going to be involved in this blubbering procedure of all of this. But it's just unusual to wait that long. I'm really kind of surprised that we haven't received this information a lot sooner.
What was the doctor aware that the test had been performed?
And the first two I got the results on, the third I thought that I must have done so well that he's not even telling me. And when I found out from Dr. Rob that that was not the case at all, I was like, wow, so I wonder what I could have done in that period of time that may have been working on some of these issues or exercises or something that would be improving some of that.
So you were upset that his office didn't furnish your other physicians with the results sooner?
Yes, and also left with non-responsiveness to me. immediately, and he called me in the call and corrected it myself, even though my phone was on. For some reason that happened. He began contacting him, I think, 4 or 5 times the first week. I took the test, did you ever see the test? So I need to take it again. I did take the test.
Why did you call him?
I said, I don't remember. And I left a message and I did email. And then there was just no response. So I was like, it didn't make sense. Why is there no response? What happened? I mean, I didn't know that I certainly wasn't rude. I never use a curse word, and when I get upset, I don't start yelling and screaming at some people or something. I'm a certified mediator, certified in Los Angeles County Bar Association, so I'm pretty good with that. I'm under control, I never was that angry, but I do sort of have conversations with my attorney and Dr. Roth. So I'm listening.
I just appreciate the frustration of not having it in a timely manner, but it's my understanding, correct me if I'm that it wouldn't have changed the treatment that was going on.
Well, what happened was from that time, when that new information came on, I then brought that information to the person who was handling the exercises to address these issues. And that was it. A physical therapist whose specialty is concussions. She looked at the information and said to me, okay, we're going to make some adjustments here in how you're being treated. I said, excellent. I started coming in more often and having other courses of action taken because of what I learned from the report. I wish I had known that. She said, this would have been so useful if we knew this sooner, to be working on this for a long time ago. We would have just been coming in sort of like, an event happened. Why would there be such a delay before we address the event? I said, I understand. So that's where it was unfortunate.
Anyone else have questions? Mr. Spann?
No.
No? Okay. Ms. Galvin? Any more questions for the complaint?
No, no questions.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. Carter Pauling? Come on down. Board discussions. I thought it's just this unfortunate miscommunication, and obviously you're going to have to tie it up somehow that communication link. What may have happened, how about putting logic into your mind, is often when we refer patients out to specialists, we assume the specialist has had it from that point until we get a letter back from the specialist, etc. So there's a whole medical loop that perhaps it is difficult for the complainant to follow. I practice, I see that too, but I'm thinking about the other doctors here. So.
Is there anything you're considering changing about your communication, your scheduling, etc., based on how this has gone down?
Yes, from day one. So I've taken the court complaint very seriously. Causing a lot of anxiety and issues for sure. And so step one is hiring someone that he's had in the discussion for sure. And so we have quicker responses, not just relying on technology. I've also hired babysitters, so we can have that aspect and I can focus more of my time and attention on the practice. I've had attorneys review what I'm doing protocol wise to make sure that we're learning what I address him, and also just double checking things. I'm totally responsible for everything today that I'm sending it out to the gentleman. And I see I apologize to Rob, and he had mentioned he did not change his treatment. He provided a letter for me if you guys would like to see that from a neurologist. And so those are some of the changes I've made.
The question is email a primary source of communication for patients, or is there a preferred way that communicated?
Well, anytime we're dealing with a concussed patient or a patient that's been injured, my standard is that I call someone, I email them, whether they get the email or they don't get the email. And in that, I say, hey, I called, left two messages, and I said, if you need to change time, use my schedule now. In this case, particularly, I didn't do that. whether they're forgetting to pick up the course now or whatever the situation is. So I tried to duplicate my actions when I'm doing. I did document that, and it challenges me because in the documentation I did contact the patient under time. So what you're saying is I didn't from that point, and it's clear that I did the email. So I'm thankful I used email, but also make sure I use some form of communication works best, with the secure link or the telephone.
And the physician who provided the letter saying that he wouldn't change the treatment at all. So with that, I would assume that no harm was done by delaying the changes that the complaint mentioned that the physical therapist had.
Well, the test I do is a neurocognitive assessment. The physician is trained and comes involved in a lot of consultation on how to read that through the test. And I'm not familiar with the physical therapist and their training, but most of the therapists I know aren't trained in dealing with the neurocognitive components of that test. I have some other concerns about that assessment, what happened from this initial test to the end test. But so viewed that we're going to change something on some of the things that he was demonstrating in that. It would take more of a physician role to make that decision. Dr. Rob didn't do that.
Didn't make any changes.
He didn't rely on my notes to write this protocol, installed the patient as a new patient, and wrote this protocol based on his experience. I want to mention Dr. Rob is double board certified. He's one out of 10 guys in the United States. He's more than qualified to treat a patient, if I may, and then also to achieve treatment of the best for him.
Okay. Any other questions?
Well, can we see the letter?
Yes, of course. I'd love to approach it.
Yeah,
please.
That would be into legal advice on that one. He wants to know if he could see the letter that was circulated, the complaint.
No, it's part of the board's investigative file.
It's part of our investigative file, so...
He could ask Dr. Rob for it.
He could ask Dr. Rob.
And is that a copy?
Yeah.
Okay. So they can keep it?
Yeah.
So when I called Dr. Rob for the gardens matter, I said, did you get my records? He says, yes. I said, did you change the treatment on your records based on my records? He said, no. I said, would you write me a letter? So please check your records, make sure you didn't change anything. He wrote that letter.
Okay. Once he's finished. The skeleton, you won't be able to see that. That's a piece, it's a piece of paper.
And Dr. Savick, if you could, or somebody could just summarize it for her so that she can kind of get the gist of it.
Dr. Rooney, Doug Reena, since you have it over there, could you give a brief summary of that?
Yes, sure.
Sure, I can summarize this. Thank you. So this was a letter which was written on September 30th, 2019, obviously, regarding the complaint. This is from Dr. Rob, the double board certified neurologist, who states that the patient, the complainant, was referred to him by Dr. Coleman on May 23rd in order to have a consultation regarding said condition. And he then saw the patient on 3 dates stated in the letter. And it was also stated that prior to that third consultation, Dr. Coleman had said clinical notes. That was 5 days prior, so that in the United States that he was able to review those prior to the case, his third consultation. And he says that the data that was that Dr. Collins sent was helpful and interesting, but not essential. It helped support the diagnosis, but it did not alter the course of treatment by Dr. Rao.
Michelle, did you hear that?
I did.
Okay. And board members, how would you like to proceed? I'll give you another 2 minutes. Can you see from where you're at?
I can.
Okay.
Number one, I'm wondering if the only time that Dr. Tallman called Dr. Rogers was to get a letter. Was there ever another time that he checked on my data or my teeth at all medically? Or is it just getting something for him for this case? And number two was, at least Dr. Tallman is so excellent at communication. Why did my lawyer send 2 letters, 2 emails, and he didn't receive a phone call or an email in response?
Okay. Can you give him a quick, give us a quick summation of that, and so we can move on to our completion of this case? Did he have concerns with that? I think you're already addressed. But does the board member need that illustrated better, or are we pretty clear?
I'm pretty clear.
Thank you for bringing it up.
So was it a communication ever had before asking for that letter with Dr. Trump, with Dr. Ron, or is that the only time you spoke?
I would have to take what I got currently in front of me, and currently in front of me I see the letter from Dr. Ron. So we can work from that, and the board's going to have to come up with a conclusion.
Okay, so they'll be addressing the court communication from the lawyer, where is not going to answer?
I think he asked legal advice on that. He'd like,
if you feel like that information is necessary in order for you to make a determination, then you can certainly ask the licensee that question. But if you don't think that it has any real germane pertinence to the allegations in front of you, then it's not necessary.
So you don't feel that's necessary?
I don't feel that it has any germane pertinence to the case. I don't know that, of course, the treatment is under the care of a fully qualified physician. And so we also see the Dr. Coleman is a wonderful sense in remediating what appears as a potential lapse in communication, which he's a full responsibility for. So therefore, I don't.
Okay. All right, anyone have any other conclusions? So, can I get a motion? Oh, sorry, tell me about
just so note that that letter, Dr. Rob had mentioned that the patient's doing better as he was monitoring the patient. So, can you grow with the test results that I've used with the patient? And that's my overall concern that I want to share. And the neurologist, being that he was treating him, didn't see that there was a significant change for treatment and he's improving.
And you can probably understand his frustration with that dropped out of the system.
Yes, Captain, definitely.
It made
very humbling with all respect.
Yeah, no, I think that he made corrections to it too. So I need a motion from the board.
Look, I'll make a motion. There's nothing substantive here. There's no patient injury. There's nothing here medically or any letter of concern or disciplinary action. Therefore, I'm going to dismiss the case.
I'll second that.
And we'll need formal roll call.
Dr. Rubin?
Aye.
Dr. Spatz?
Aye.
Dr. Popio?
Aye.
Dr. Shadler?
Aye.
Ms. Tibbetts?
Aye.
Ms. Gallin?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And let me move on. Is Dr. Percheck there?
Yes.
Just so I can keep our agenda is based on the top of scripture here. So we're on to, Dr. Ryan, the not rapid question. First off, that's case number 20-133. Whenever you get a chance, Gail.
Dr. Savage, members of the board, on August 19th, 2019, the State of Arizona Naturopathic Physicians Medical Board received a complaint from patient JV, who alleges respondent, owner of the facility known as the Lodge of Sedona, charged her for a wellness program she did not go through. She disputes being charged for 2 weeks, stating she left because the program was not what was advertised and that the facility was filthy and unhealthy. She alleges they billed her for services and products she did not receive.
Dr. Kirchhoff, can you give us your summation?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. I feel that the complaint of the patient is false and misleading. As time goes on, from the time that she was there to the time of complaint, she has been adding and creating things that were never discussed, brought up to us at the time when she was there. She did come in, she did go through the program. With the doctors, you know, we take pride and care of the services and the treatments that we provide, and I think that we go above and beyond what is expected, especially in the setting that we have, because it is very intimate. You are with the patient for a week, month even. So we do develop a very, very close relationship with the guests that are there. So I think that a lot of the things that she's complaining about weren't brought up to us at the time that she was there. We do our best to accommodate her. I know there was an issue with the room. She didn't like her room, so we moved her to a different room. She didn't like that room, so we asked, I guess, to be able to move to accommodate this desk. She had that desk move out of their room that they reserved to her that space. And again, she didn't like that. Oftentimes when people come, when they're coming to the retreat to take good healthy food, go on a diet, just work on overall health and health goals, oftentimes that can be challenging because they're used to like a standard American diet and going on a vegan vegetarian diet with, you know, there's no salt or there's a lack of, you know, flavor, you know, it's they don't necessarily take time to grow your palate to the foods that are offered there when you're talking about vegan, vegetarian foods and whatever you see it like it. I don't think that was brought up at all during the time that she was there. But if it was a great cook and kitchen staff, that would make accommodations to accommodate her regarding that. I guess one thing that I heard from the office manager is that she was just kind of complaining about the standards of the retreat. I guess she is to going to more high-end, luxury, exclusive retreats, and she felt that our humble establishment didn't cater to her level of satisfaction. And so the patient did stay for, I believe, 7-8 days and decided to be early on her 2 weeks reservation. We feel that we have been honest up front with who we are, what we do, what we provide, whether it's on the information on the website or talking to her or the information that she receives by email with the forms. The consent forms are also provided, which were signed stating that or we had a policy where it's 2 weeks in, we're going to book and reserve your room to stay for that retreat. Should be the minimum that we allow. And part of that is, one, it's time to kind of put time together. We, even with the decision ordering food, ordering supplies, so we do have to plan ahead with the guests that are coming, so we do have to put minimum for that respect. And for example, patient was looking at extending the stay, originally booking for 3 weeks, but our front office manager said, well, if you're not sure how long you want to stay, I just book the minimum 2 weeks, and you can decide to extend your stay from there. I think we try to do our best to be as upfront, transparent, and honest and open of what we do and what we provide. Of course, if any discrepancies between that or certain expectations, and we try to do our best to provide the best care service that we can. And thank you for your time. If you do have any questions, I'm more than willing to answer them.
You mentioned the cleanliness around the IVs and the environment that those are administered in. Where do you guys administer those IVs in that facility?
We have a specific, treatment facility. There's good clean daily, multiple times during the day. We use a cloth. We have a standard, we use a surgery standard of care with the IVs. We follow standard protocols. I'm not sure about the full masking glove. I don't remember if I was the one that administered the treatment or if it was one of the new docs that we were training, but you know, we follow standard protocols and assume that we did wear gloves. I've never seen them or myself not wear gloves during that procedure. You know, maybe it was initially when we were inspecting that arm for access and we're looking around to say, okay, you know. And then go close up and give the procedure.
I think you mentioned it being in a tent as well.
We do have a, I guess a yurt.
Okay.
Tent yurt. This is a enclosed facility.
So you primarily run that program. Oncology patients, is it mostly the cancer patients that come?
No, like there's the patient, cancer patient. We're really open to
the general public.
Yeah, the general public. We're not focused on one or another. We have treatment for fasting, water fasting, juice fasting, nutritional kinds of programs. We really customize it to whatever the patient is looking for and whatever the doctor recommends.
Okay. Is there anything you're changing about how you're representing yourself online? You see the patients. Obviously, she signed all the paperwork, so there really shouldn't have been a question about the transportation policy, but is there anything you guys are looking at changing and how you approach the patient's care?
Even on my form, this is even for us of, okay, what can we do to, on all the forms, making sure that people know that this, you know, they commit to this specific time. Because when you're, let's say, booking a space, a hotel room, you, in the sense you leave, because you block that out, nobody can take that space. And so that's why we have certain, if you book a hotel and you don't show up or leave early, we said, you block somebody else's opportunity from going there. So, I think there's, we're always revising the forms. We're always revising information that we put out there to make sure that we, things come up like this, right? Okay, well, how can we do it better? And, limit things on like the price sheets that we send out, you know, having there more ability to disclaimers as well,
We have the information that, that we sent out, and within that it also talks about our requirements and our policies, along with the consent forms that she has signed.
I'll make the motion. Before I do though, any other board members have questions? I'm going to make a motion that we go ahead and dismiss case number 2133.
I'll second that.
Roll call, please.
Dr. Rubin.
Dr. Spatt.
Aye.
Dr. Popio.
Aye.
Dr. Sablik.
Aye.
Ms. Tippett.
Aye.
Ms. Gallen?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm going to move down to number 7 because he's working on me. Dr. Popio. Popio. And that would be case number 15025.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, this is a request for probation termination from Dr. Kopfield. On October 13th of 2016, Dr. Kopfield entered into a consent agreement for probation and practice restriction relating to case number 15-025. Based on the agreement, Dr. Kopfield was placed on 3 years probation, ordered to complete an additional 30 hours of continuing medical education and pay a civil penalty of $3,000. Dr. Kopfield has complied with CME and civil penalty requirements. Additionally, his prescribing privileges were restricted based on the consent agreement. The consent agreement does allow for random chart review. Based on the consent agreement, the records for 3 patients were subpoenaed. The records provided for patient CB, WK, and JV appear to meet the definition of adequate medical records, with the exception of electronic records which do not reflect a patient name. Regarding the prescribing restriction, it appears Dr. Kopfield has complied. A PFP was run from 11-1-2016 through 8-13-2019, which shows the majority of prescriptions written were for testosterone. The PMP does disclose several prescriptions for dronabinol, which is a cannabinoid in Schedule 3, man-made. However, the order only restricts Dr. Kopfield from certifying from medical marijuana. The PMP does disclose several prescriptions for alprazolam or lorazepam, both are Schedule 4. And while they are classified as a sedative, the order specifically restricts quote-unquote sleeping pills. The alprazolam are written for 0.25 milligrams, and lorazepam are written for 2 milligrams. There appears to be no combinations written for pain medications and muscle relaxants. In the event the board finds Dr. Kopfield has fulfilled the requirements of the consent agreement, the board may grant the request for probation termination.
Comments?
No comments at all. So I complied with everything that was expected of me for the last 3 years.
Are you planning on resuming medical marijuana certification?
Not currently.
If you do, please make sure you do the PMP check so we don't have to be back here again.
Absolutely. I'm going to start to be back here again.
The prescriptions you wrote while you were under consent agreement, would just not understanding correctly what the consent agreement said, or
as far as which prescriptions?
The alprazolam and let me check real quick.
The lorazepam was written as an anti-anxiety, not as a sedative.
Okay.
What charting system are you using, by the way?
The Curacao?
Okay. Cool. Well, I was looking at kind of the run-on of the way the chart notes come out.
Yeah, when you click on the tab for chart, that's how they display and that's how it prints out.
Okay.
Instead of going into each individual
little chart and printing out each one. There's a chart that just prints it out of the back.
Okay. I mean, certainly the your SOAPs are fine. I didn't know how that was printing out that way.
I just didn't work on it. Just to show the concept. I didn't want anybody else to use that IntraSoft. So feel free. Just here's one where you're physical advantage to establish a generic list, and then the ones that you did do, you just left it blank after an item. I don't think those, because it looks like you forgot to chart something. I'm assuming that those are there because you didn't do it, so you put not done.
The physical exams that have only one feet attached to not up.
And then nothing.
That means it was negative. Or is it like an actual dash?
There's a dash.
That's a negative.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, it'll say positive left or right with a plus sign on L or an R, and then if it's negative, it says it's a dash negative.
Where are we with negatives? Are we supposed to criticize those?
I think it goes away.
Okay. Yeah.
Do you have any comments?
No.
Board members?
I make a motion that we reinstate all prescribing rights and have scope.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Dr. Rubin, that was a second?
Yep.
Okay. Roll call, please. Dr. Rubin?
Aye.
Dr. Spatz?
Aye.
Dr. Popiel?
Aye.
Dr. Sadler?
Aye.
Ms. Tibbetts?
Aye.
Ms. Gallin?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you. All right. And we do have Dr. Guy really quick, I need to 5A, she's not here, but that was Allison Pritchard.
I'm going to jump straight to the motion to dismiss.
I can make a motion. You go ahead and make the motion.
I make a motion to dismiss case 1.0, Dr. Pritchard.
Okay. You got a second? Do a roll call.
Dr. Rubin?
Aye.
Dr. Spratt?
Aye.
Dr. Popiel?
Aye.
Dr. Sadler?
Aye.
Ms. Tibbetts?
Aye.
Ms. Gallin?
Aye.
Motion carries.
You're going to need to... Okay, we're going to wrap up. We'll be quick. Consent agenda number 6. Draft minutes. Can everybody...
Oh, the minutes.
Was anyone here? Everyone here?
Dr. Rubin was not present. Right?
Dr. Rubin was.
Yes, Dr. Rubin's absent, so he needs to
recuse.
We're on 6. Are you
making a motion to approve him?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to make a motion to approve the draft minutes.
Okay.
I'll second it.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Aye.
We're done with 7. Let's finish up. They don't read the consent surrender of license for Dr. Marie. Are you okay with it?
I would like to take this opportunity to thank Mr. Harris for facilitating this forward because it's been languishing for quite some time. And so he did... He did get her signature on this, so thank you for that.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Yeah, it was kind of lame routine. Let's move on to number 9. Deputy Director's Report. I suppose we could. Right. Do we need to...
The director report? No, you don't have
with them.
It's already
you offered it to her.
Yeah. It was a long time ago. She's not a member.
Exactly. She was just being a lot of people.
Okay.
Number 9, executive director's report.
Any questions?
No, we're good. And 10 was teacher agenda. And that was when we had the case that was fired with the level function. Do you want anything more on that, or did you want to remember? Do they need additional training, or can I just go start doing that tomorrow in my office?
I just thought if we continue with that line, we would want to, you know, determine if there are certain certifications that...
Last question? Yeah, it was possibly mentioned by Ms. Fitzgerald, but...
Last time we had some case that we were looking for actually.
Go ahead.
I'm going down a couple. It just says here, approved by the board and practiced by a recipient of a degree of doctor of naturopathic medicine. So I don't know if there's already clinical training that's already been approved or if that's even necessary.
I think it's referring to
things that happen within an approved school, or there are things outside
of it. Bring it before the board next time.
Do you want
to
look at that?
It takes a legislative.
You want to put it on Tuesday, Hannah? Those questions, I have them.
Is it controversial?
I mean, so there are some positions. Do you know in your office? No. I don't do them in my office.
I know, but the other stuff that do them,
no, they got a little. So you asked me what's within school?
Yeah, the training and so forth. I'm sure that introduces someone to complain about it.
Well, we fall under, but we'll bring it up. Probably falls under that natural substance, H2O2. I think you take this as. Test this with that verification. I don't think our DPS officer has anything to say.
No, my daughter's serving PHA to this moment.
Bob? 424, we're adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.